Welcome to the first Sunday with the Sky Family. We'd like to invite you to be right here at the Sky Family Lodge on lovely and snowy Prince Edward Island. We had a blizzard shortly ago, and we've got 2 or 3 feet of snow outside. But it's a great place to be in the wintertime and in the summer. So we hope you can join us in the summer. This is a service for those who, for one reason or another, may not be attending a church right now, or for those who, after going to church, would like to supplement their Sunday by some fellowship with us and an encouraging word. Our message today is going to be taken from Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Now, God has called us out and separated us to be his possession, his particular, peculiar people made for his own purposes. And he has called us out to himself, starting with the father of our faith, Abraham, who was called by God to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, to leave it behind. Now, Ur was a type of the world and of worldliness. And Abraham was called by God to leave the world and worldliness behind. And so, as we are following in the footsteps of Abraham, I thought it might be helpful for us to understand how we also are called out of Ur, of the Chaldeans, and of worldliness. So, what does this look like in ordinary, regular life? Well, there's two things, there's a couple different ways that we are called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. The first one is to make an actual physical move out of an environment which is corrupting, such as Abraham did. He physically removed from a place that was corrupting. Ur was filled with all type of paganism and perversity, and he left it. Also, we see Joseph physically getting up and leaving the room where Potiphar's wife was tempting him. So he actually physically left. Now, this is particularly significant in regard to the influence that a secular and a worldly school has today on our children and the corrupting influence that is there. In many ways, we are handing our children over to the devil to allow him to raise them himself, because it's so convenient and it's so inexpensive. Now, that's not saying that the teachers themselves are evil. We have many friends who are teachers in various secular schools, and many of them are very good-hearted. But it is a system which is entirely godless, textbooks and a curriculum which is devoid of the Spirit of God. And this is a very weighty matter, and it's a very costly move in terms of money and time. But when we consider the cost, we have to consider how much are our children's souls worth. How much is it worth? Is it worth the move? I would say yes, it is. Well worth the move, whatever the cost is, to take a physical move to protect children from eternal spiritual dangers is a very legitimate form of obeying God and leaving Ur of the Chaldeans. So that is one instance where physical removal is what is required of us. Now, aside from that physical move, there is also a move which is required of all God's people everywhere. And that is an internal removal from Ur of the Chaldeans. It's a separation from worldliness, a separation from all the corruption of the world on the inside. And that is required of all people. So, as we examine the various attachments that we have to the world that need to be severed in order for us to follow after the Lord in obedience. We see right off, of course, the grosser, more obvious sins. God wants to separate us from all worldly sensuality, all immorality, all worldly entertainment and pastimes that are against Him and against His holiness. Now, these things are self-evident and is part of our course of following the Lord, is that we would be separating ourselves from these things. Not that we're going to be perfect, but we are required to be making the move out of her. We need to be constantly in a state of leaving this city to follow after the Lord. So we may stumble here and there. Thank God, His condemnation is off of us once we run to Him and ask for forgiveness. But we need to be leaving the city. We need to be fleeing from Ur. Now, once we get past these obvious hurdles, now as we dig deeper, there's more subtle snares. Vines that grow up in the night and wind themselves around our foot that cause us to stumble. And one of these is the fear of men. Now, the world has a whole system of values, and it's all-encompassing. It's in all the media. It's in every person, all the people that we meet, and all the people that we know and that we love. There's a system of values which is ascribed to. And the problem with the system of values is that it is contrary to God's own values. It is contrary to it. And so we find ourselves in conflict, and we know that the value system of the world is wrong, and yet we ascribe to it still. Why? Why do we ascribe to a system that we know is contrary to God's approval? Well, it's because inside of each one of us, every man and woman, every child, every person on this earth has an inner longing and a need and a desire to be liked, to be accepted, to be respected. And it is that great need for approval that causes us to want to be not ostracized by anyone. So here's the catch. This is the problem. To be respected and accepted by the world means we necessarily have to line up with the criteria of the world that would make them approve us. Though we don't want to be a part of the world, how many times in the course of our interaction with the world do we remain silent, not speaking the thing that is on our heart, because we know if we do, we will risk the disapproval of those around us. We all do that. We all do that. We just remain silent so that we don't lose their approval. And we rationalize it by saying, well, how can we be a good witness if at first we don't build bridges and we're respected? How will they listen to us if we're not respected? That, my friends, is the great snare which we as a church have fallen into. That we want the respect of the world. We want the respect of the world. So now, our way of reaching out is by having businessmen who are more successful, by having greater prosperity, bigger churches, more fantastic programs, more lights, more sound, more pizzazz. Anything that will cause the world to look up to us so that we'd be respected by the world. And that's become our new agenda for outreach. But the problem with this and the fallacy of this approach is this, that Jesus has made a mandatory requirement that we would be dead to self. Death to self is the mandatory requirement of following after the Lord. So as long as we're trying to be a light or a witness by gaining the respect of the world, not only are we accomplishing absolutely nothing for God, we have also necessarily bought into the world's system of values or part of their system of values. And we do that because we hate to be criticized. We just hate it. We don't want to be scorned. We cringe from the very thought of it, and we want to run from it. And because of that, it becomes Satan's most powerful weapon against us. As it says so well in Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man is a snare. It is a snare which causes us to compromise. It allows the devil to manipulate us into all form of compromise with the world. Now, since so much of the church is bought into this worldly mentality, since so much of Christendom is now measuring their success not by righteousness, but by the bottom line, by how much income is coming into the church, and because the pastors are either MBAs or they're side by side with MBAs and they're doing all of their moves by the bottom line, because of that, for someone to stand up for righteousness and to follow the Lord with all their heart takes an immeasurable boldness. It takes an immeasurable boldness to go against the amazing current of worldliness that has come into our church. And it's a boldness which is born of death to self. You see, that's why Jesus required that we would be dead to self. Because we can't have the boldness to follow after him unless we are dead to self. The boldness comes from not caring about the opinions of men. And so we can see from this that more and more it is so important to be called out of Ur of the Chaldeans by leaving the world and the love of the world and the love of the approval of men. You see, because as soon as you stand up for the gospel according to Jesus, you will be accused. Now, if you don't think that there's a flow that you're going to be going against by standing up for the Lord, you just make a statement. You just bring any of these subjects or broach these things, and you'll find yourself suddenly the target of all type of malicious slander. You'll find that you are accused of being a troublemaker, of breeding disunity, and everything that can be brought against you will be brought against you, merely because you might have said, well, Jesus says that we're supposed to do this. And so it takes a strong resolve to stand with Christ. It takes a strong resolve, and it has to be rooted in the foundation of not being concerned about the opinion of men. We must be willing to look like a fool for Christ. Let's look over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here's Paul speaking. He says, I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death. We have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ. You are prudent in Christ, but we are weak. You are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you, my beloved children. Now we can see from this that Brother Paul was definitely not trying to win the world by impressing them. No, he was dead to self. He preached a gospel that was foolishness to the world. He preached a gospel that is foolishness to the church in many ages and in portions of the church today. The simple gospel. And so it is so important for us to truly leave the world behind, setting our face like flint to find the approval of God and not the approval of men. Now, as these latter days come upon us, this is going to be the challenge. This is going to be the issue which you, every one of us, is going to be confronted with. This is the issue of whether we're willing to stand for Christ and look foolish in doing it and to face heat as a result of following after the Lord. Because even right now, there's a call to unity and to a universal brotherhood, which I'm ashamed to say has started in our church, in the Christian church. But it is a unity through compromise. It is a peace through surrender. And that's not to say that we don't love all men. God has given us a great love for all men. But if you don't think there's compromise in this new movement, you just stand in the middle of it and you say these words. I believe there is only one true Son of God, and His name is Jesus. It is only through His death and atonement that we can be saved. You stand in the middle of this great movement of unity and love, and you say those words, and you'll suddenly find yourself ostracized. You'll be scorned. You'll be ridiculed. You will be in trouble. So now is the time to prepare, because it's already like that, but it's going to be more like that as the latter days come more fully upon us. So now is the time to prepare and to begin to let that grip be loosened from us of the approval of man, of needing and seeking the approval of men, to saying, no, I only need the approval of God. I only need the approval of God, and I'm willing to stand for Him and to be a fool for Christ's sake. We have these beautiful words in Isaiah to encourage us. Isaiah 51 says, lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath. For the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment. And its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation is forever. My righteousness shall not wane. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, neither be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them like a garment, and the grub will eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation to all generations. It is God's approval that we are seeking, and not man's. And this is a hard, hard thing to die to. It's hard because it's innate in all of us to want to be loved and approved. But God requires to follow after Jesus. We must follow after the one who was meek, the one who was rejected, the one who was despised and acquainted with grief. We must be willing to follow after our beloved Savior and count the cost and pay it. And I pray that each one here will stand before the Lord fully approved by Him in that day. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank You that You have been an example. You don't sit in the heavens and tell us how we're supposed to live, but You came down from the heavens and You demonstrated how to live. And You demonstrated an amazing fearlessness, an amazing obedience to your Father. And so we pray that you would fill us with that spirit, that you would fill us with that spirit of boldness, that you would fill us with the spirit of confidence in you, that we would not fear men, but that we would fear you. I pray, Lord, that everyone who hears these words will be lifted up and greatly strengthened, O Lord God, to follow after you no matter what. I pray for your blessing. O Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do a good work in our hearts to prepare us for the day when we will see you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us today, and I hope that these words will really and truly encourage you. And we look forward to seeing you again next week, and hopefully we'll see many of you in person this summer at Revival PEI. God bless you all.